Hello and welcome back to the Pi Tech Solutions podcast. I'm your host, Alex. It is Sunday, January 18th, 2026. And if you are listening to this, you are likely deep in the trenches of Q1 planning, looking at a technology landscape that feels completely different than it did even 12 months ago.
That's right, Alex. Good to be here. And honestly, different might be the understatement of the decade. I was just looking at the Pi Tech research report released this morning, titled Regional Banks and the Agentic AI FOMO Race, and it hits hard. We aren't talking about chatbots anymore.
No, we certainly aren't. Today, we are diving deep, and I mean really deep, into the reality of agentic AI for regional banks. Specifically, we're talking to the C-suite and strategy leads at institutions sitting in that critical asset class, $10 billion to $250 billion, the danger zone.
The danger zone is a great way to put it. You know, looking at the industry right now in early 2026, we're seeing what we call a strategic scramble. 2 years ago, banks were playing with generative AI, asking it to write marketing emails or summarize meeting notes. That was cute. That was safe.
Right. It was the summer of experimentation.
Exactly. But that's over. The new interface for banking isn't a mobile dashboard anymore. It's becoming an intelligent agent. And the regional banks are realizing that if they can't offer an agent that helps a customer optimize their taxes or plan a mortgage, they are going to lose that customer to a mega bank that can.
And that brings us to the core tension of this episode, the intelligence gap. We talk about the wealth gap, but in banking right now, it's an intelligence gap. You have the tier one mega banks, JP Morgan Chase, Bank of America, Capital One. I mean, JPMC has an annual tech budget of over $15 billion.
$15 billion. It's a number so big, it's hard to wrap your head around. To put that in perspective, that single budget is larger than the total asset size of many community banks. They have spent years building proprietary AI foundations. They have accumulated learning. You can't just buy that off the shelf overnight.
So if I'm a CIO at a regional bank with $50 billion in assets, I'm staring at a 5 to 7x investment gap in R&D compared to the giants. And I'm terrified. I'm scared of being marginalized by their scale. And on the other side, I'm scared of the agility of the digital native neobanks.
It's a pincer movement. You're getting squeezed from the top by raw power and from the bottom by speed. And that existential fear is driving this agentic AI FOMO race. But here's the good news, and what we want to unpack today. You don't have to outspend JPMC to survive, but you do have to outmaneuver them.
Let's start by defining the weapon of choice here. We keep using this term agentic AI. I think a lot of people nod their heads when they hear it, but they might still be thinking of ChatGPT from 2024. Mike, break it down. What is the distinction between generative AI and agentic AI?
Crucial distinction. Gen AI, the stuff we got used to in 23 and 24, was a content creator. It could write text, create an image, maybe write some code. It was passive. You prompted it, it gave a response. Agentic AI, which is the standard now in 2026, is fundamentally different. It creates action. It can reason, it can use tools, and most importantly, it can make multi-step decisions without you holding its hand.
So instead of asking a bot, how do I apply for a mortgage, and getting a list of steps?
Right. In an agentic world, you say, I want to buy this house. And the agent says, okay, I see your income documents in the vault. I've initiated the credit pool, I've contacted the appraiser, and I'm flagging a potential issue with your debt-to-income ratio. Do you want me to move some funds to resolve that? It's doing the work, not just describing the work.
That leads us to one of my favorite concepts from the Pi Tech research, the orchestration shift, or what they call agentic swarms.
Swarms. It sounds like a sci-fi horror movie, doesn't it?
It really does. But it's actually incredibly efficient.
It is. Let's go down the rabbit hole on this, because this is where the efficiency gains, that 40 to 60% drop in operational costs, come from. In the old way, you had RPA, robotic process automation. It was rigid. If X happens, do Y. If the form is missing a signature, stop and email the human.
Very linear, very fragile.
Exactly. Now imagine a mortgage application. In 2026, we don't send that to a bot. We send it to a swarm, a team of specialized agents. You have Agent A, whose only job is verifying income documents. You have Agent B, who is an expert in property valuation. Agent C assesses credit risk. Agent D checks regulatory compliance.
And they are all working at the same time?
Simultaneously. And here is the magic. They talk to each other. They orchestrate.
So Agent A looks at the tax returns and sees a discrepancy. Instead of stopping the whole process, it pings Agent C and says, hey, income is actually 10% lower than stated. Adjust the risk profile. Agent C runs the math instantly and says risk is still within tolerance, but rate needs to go up by 0.1%. Agent D checks compliance on that rate hike. Boom, done. No human email chains, no 3-day wait times.
That is incredible. You're talking about approval timelines dropping from weeks to hours.
Or minutes. And for a regional bank, that speed is the only way to compete with the neobanks. But, and there is always a but, implementing this isn't just about buying a software license. It requires a complete rethink of your architecture.
Well, and it requires the computing power to run it, right? I mean, everyone assumes you need massive frontier models, GPT-5 or whatever Google is running now, to do this. But the PyTech report suggests a contrarian view. They're talking about small language models, or SLMs.
Yes, this is the David versus Goliath tactic. The common misconception is that to be smart, a model has to be huge, trillions of parameters. But regional banks don't need a model that knows how to write a poem in French or code in Python or know the history of the Roman Empire. They need a model that knows commercial lending in the Midwest.
Specialization over generalization.
Precisely. The rise of SLMs, models with maybe 1 to 20 billion parameters, is a game changer for regionals. First, the cost. They require 10 to 50 times less processing power. You can run these on your existing on-premise servers. You don't need a massive cloud GPU cluster costing millions a month.
Which also touches on the privacy angle, right? If it's on-prem, the data isn't leaving the bank.
Huge for compliance. But the hidden benefit is accuracy. If you fine-tune a small model only on your bank's specific lending policy, it will hallucinate less than a giant model trying to know everything about the world. It stays in its lane. It's faster, cheaper, and safer. That's how a $50 billion bank competes with JMPC.
I want to pivot to another strategy mentioned in the report, the agent as a service economy. Because even with SLMs, regional banks can't build every single agent from scratch. They don't have the engineering talent pool.
No, they don't. And that's simply a fact of the labor market. So we are seeing this marketplace emerge. You can rent a fraud detection agent. You can rent a customer onboarding agent. It's plug-and-play intelligence.
But isn't there a risk there? I mean, vendor lock-in is always a problem, but this feels deeper. If I rely on a third party for my lending agent, do I even own the intelligence of my bank anymore?
That is the critical danger. If the vendor updates the algorithm and suddenly your loan approvals drop by 20%, you might not know why. You've outsourced your brain. PyTech's view on this is very specific. Successful banks treat these partnerships as a bridge, not a permanent destination. You use them to get to market fast, but you must have a roadmap to bring the core IP in-house eventually. Or at least, you need rigorous control over the data layer so you can swap vendors if needed.
Let's talk about the customer side. We mentioned the mortgage swarm, which is largely back office efficiency. But what about the front office? The report highlights hyper-personalized wealth agents.
This is where the revenue growth comes from. For years, the mass affluent sector, people with maybe 100K to 1 million in investable assets, were ignored. They weren't rich enough for a dedicated human advisor, so they got stuck with robo-advisors that just rebalanced an ETF portfolio.
Right, very passive. Here's a pie chart. See you next year.
Exactly. Wealth agents change that. They can engage in active dialogue. Imagine an agent that notices a customer has excess cash sitting in a low-interest checking account. It also knows, based on previous conversations, that the customer wants to buy a vacation home in 2 years. The agent proactively pings them. Hey, I see 50K sitting idle. Given your goal for the lake house, should we move this to a 5% yield vehicle?
That's the level of service a private banker gives a client with $10 million, but now you can offer it to someone with $50,000.
And the stats back it up. It allows relationship managers to serve 3 to 5 times more clients while actually increasing the quality of the interaction. It's democratization of high finance advice.
Okay, Mike, we've painted a rosy picture. Swarms, efficiency, personalized wealth advice. But we need to talk about where this goes wrong. The PyTech report has a section called The Dangers. And the first one is the technical debt trap.
Yeah, this is the horror story segment. Here's the scenario. A bank CEO wants to look innovative. They rush to deploy a cool customer-facing agent. It looks great in the demo, but the bank is running on a 40-year-old legacy core system, mainframe stuff.
green screens and COBOL.
Green screens and COBOL. So the engineers build what we call fragile bridges, middleware, spaghetti code to connect this super smart AI to a super dumb database. It works for about 6 months. The agent is smart, but the database is siloed. The agent can chat with you, but it can't actually see your full profile because your mortgage data is on a different server than your checking data.
So the customer asks, can I afford this loan based on my savings? And the agent says, I don't know what your savings are.
Or worse, it hallucinates an answer because it can't verify the truth. And then 18 months later, when you need to update the core, the whole house of cards collapses. We call it strategic paralysis. You are forced into expensive remediation. Pytech's warning here is stark. Do not skip the data fabric.
Data fabric. That's the plumbing. It's not sexy.
It is absolutely not sexy. Try selling data fabric to a board of directors who wants magic robots. But it is the difference between success and failure. You have to break down the silos, loans, deposits, wealth, so the agent sees the whole customer. An average agent on great data beats a genius agent on bad data every single time.
There is also the regulatory nightmare to consider. We are recording this in 2026. The OCC, the CFPB, the Fed, they are watching. What is the fear around black box logic?
The fear is explainability. If an AI denies a loan and the regulator asks why, you cannot say because the neural network said so. That is a lawsuit waiting to happen. You have to be able to explain in plain English the variables that led to that decision to prove you aren't violating fair lending laws.
And we know algorithmic bias is real. If the training data has historical bias, the agent will perpetuate it.
It will amplify it. That's why we are moving toward a concept called human on the loop, not human in the loop.
Okay, explain the difference.
Human in the loop means the human is part of the assembly line. Every loan passes through their hands. That's slow. Human on the loop means the agent does 95% of the work. The human is a supervisor. They sit in a control tower. They aren't reviewing every application. They are monitoring the patterns of the AI's decisions.
So the commercial lender isn't a processor anymore. They are an auditor. They are a risk manager.
Exactly. They only intervene on outliers. If the AI flags a weird case, the human jumps in. But this requires a massive cultural shift. You have to retrain your staff. If you don't turn your processors into supervisors, they become bottlenecks, and you lose all the speed you just paid for.
So, bringing this all together, if I'm that regional bank strategy lead, what is the winning play? Pytech has laid out a specific playbook. Let's walk through the top three strategies.
Sure. Strategy number one is the inverted budget rule. Most banks want to spend 80% on the AI models and 20% on data. Pytech says, flip it. Allocate 60 to 70% of your budget to the data fabric, that unified architecture we talked about. Only spend 30 to 40% on the agents themselves.
Build the foundation before you build the skyscraper.
Right. Strategy number two, start in the middle office. Don't launch your first agent as a customer-facing chatbot. It's too risky. Start with KYC, know your customer checks. AML, anti-money laundering, and dispute resolution.
Why there?
Because it's high volume, repetitive, and has clear decision criteria. We are seeing 70 to 85% reductions in processing time for KYC AML. Plus, regulators are more likely to let you automate the back office first. It builds a trust track record.
And finally, strategy number three?
Be a fast follower on architecture, but a front runner on use cases. Don't try to invent your own LLM. Use Llama, use Claude, use GPT, but apply them to local problems. If you are a bank in the Midwest, build the world's best agricultural lending agent. If you are in the Southeast, build the best hospitality financing agent. That is your moat. JPMC builds generic tools. You build specific ones.
That resonates. It's about leaning into the regional identity, using AI to amplify it rather than replace it.
The Pytech quote that stuck with me was, "The end game is not matching megabank capabilities feature for feature, but rather wielding agent technology to amplify the inherent advantages of regional banking. That's the vision."
So where does Pytech Solutions fit into this ecosystem? They aren't a bank, and they aren't an AI model builder.
Pytech is the bridge. They offer what they call the banking hub. Think of it as the architectural glue. They come in and help modernize the core without blowing it up. They build that data orchestration layer so the fabric is ready before you deploy the agents. Essentially, they help regionals achieve mega bank efficiency through a community bank lens.
Avoiding the technical debt trap we talked about earlier.
Exactly. They ensure you aren't just taping a Ferrari engine to a horse and buggy.
Mike, this has been a comprehensive look at a rapidly moving target. Any final thoughts for the executives listening who might be feeling that FOMO right now?
Don't panic. The race is on, yes, but it's a marathon, not a sprint. The banks that rush into AI washing, just making things look smart, will fail. The banks that take the next 6 months to fix their data, adopt small language models for specific tasks, and empower their workforce to become supervisors, those are the banks that will be thriving in 2030. The technology is just a tool. The strategy is how you wield it.
Well said. Mega bank efficiency through a community bank lens. I like that. That's a wrap for this week's deep dive into the agentic AI FOMO race. Thank you to PyTech Solutions for the research material. I'm Alex.
And I'm Mike. Thanks for listening.